This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Did you know that right now, GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
The debate changes. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, August 10. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
With Congress unable to agree on coronavirus aid, President Trump has used executive orders instead. Now, lawmakers are debating those actions.
Campaign news. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien says China is targeting the November election. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is expected to name his running mate this week.
Business news. Twitter is reportedly interested in purchasing TikTok. Plus, a big mall operator says it'll work to turn empty department stores into Amazon fulfillment centers.
And the demise of formal business wear.
I think that it's become pretty clear in the last several weeks that any retailer that relies heavily on business wear, or what we would typically call office clothes, is hurting.
Nathan Bomey at USA Today explores whether dress clothes are gone for good. As he suggested he might, President Trump has bypassed Congress in an effort to provide another round of coronavirus relief aid from the federal government. With negotiations seemingly at an impasse following a self-imposed deadline of Friday, the president on Saturday issued executive orders calling for $400 a week in unemployment benefits, with 100 of that coming from states.
And we've been going through this routine for a long time, number of weeks. And it was time to act.
He also issued orders on payroll taxes, evictions, and student loan payments, issues that were all part of discussions on a broader aid package. Democrats don't like it and have threatened legal action. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
The president's executive orders, described in one word, could be paltry. In three words, unworkable, weak, and far too narrow.
Another possible hurdle, whether the states, strapped for cash because of the pandemic, would contribute the additional $100 in weekly jobless benefits. A shooting in Washington, D.C. at an apparent block party has left a teenager dead and 20 others wounded. Among the injured, an off-duty police officer. Meanwhile, 17-year-old Christopher Brown was shot and pronounced dead at a nearby hospital. Peter Newsham, chief of the Metropolitan Police Department, said at a news conference that the cop was struggling for her life. It's not clear why she was at the gathering. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser.
We had a lot of people that were in a dangerous situation last night, and sadly, several people who have no regard for human life opened fire.
The shooting happened shortly after midnight yesterday and appeared to have involved at least three people opening fire from separate points at the same time. The organizers, by the way, did not have a permit. Meanwhile, nine people were hospitalized after being shot during a family gathering in a Denver park yesterday, but all were expected to survive. Police said it appeared to be a drive-by attack. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien says Chinese hackers were targeting U.S. election infrastructure ahead of this November's election, making a new claim about the level of Beijing's activity in the election. In an interview with CBS Television, Mr. O'Brien says there were cyber attacks, phishing, and attempts to access Secretary of State websites. He said the goal is to see President Trump lose.
And China, like Russia, like Iran, have engaged in cyber attacks and phishing and that sort of thing.
What Mr. O'Brien described, if true, would resemble Russian activity during the 2016 campaign and hasn't previously been asserted publicly by the U.S. government.
We're aware of it, and we're taking steps to counter it, whether it's China or Russia or Iran. We're not going to put up with it.
China has denied that it targets the U.S. with cyber attacks. On Friday, Bill Evanina, the director of the National Counterintelligence and Security Center, released a public statement saying that the U.S. intelligence community had assessed that Russia is engaged in a broad effort to damage Democrat Joe Biden's bid for the presidency by trying to influence public debate and perception.
Dell supports America's entrepreneurs during Small Business Month with all you need to office anywhere. Save up to 45% on computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10. Plus, save on top-brand tech while enjoying free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the tech that's just right. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference. Like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help. Offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for spending part of your Monday with us. Urban office markets and other commercial real estate in major cities are experiencing their worst stretch in decades, upended by the pandemic, changes in work behavior, and struggling city economies. It's a story by Conrad Putzier, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Conrad, what's going on?
So what basically happened this year is the first buildings to be hit really hard were hotels and retail, right? Because all the restaurants were closed, all the shops were closed, people weren't traveling. So that was the type of real estate that almost from the very beginning of this pandemic was really in crisis. Now, the longer this whole thing lasts, what you're increasingly seeing is that office buildings are in trouble too. And that's a huge concern for landlords because it's a huge, huge, huge market. There's a ton of money tied up in office buildings. And more, you're increasingly seeing analysts say that they expect prices in office buildings to fall almost as much as retail and hotels this year.
Goodness. All right. So somebody in your story used the phrase urban malaise, meaning what?
So this is what's currently happening in these cities is an economic crisis caused by the pandemic, right? Aside from this, which is very real, which is happening, you have a lot of property owners who are also concerned about something else. They basically look at spikes in homicides in some cities. They look at the protests and the fact that a lot of shops are boarded up right now. And they're basically worried that this is going to be like the 80s again, that we're going to enter a period of urban decline here, that people are going to leave the cities, specifically well-off college-educated people are going to leave the cities, and that this is going to lead to like a long-term decline in property values. Now, it should be said, it's far from clear if this will actually happen. And I think a lot of smart people are saying that this is not going to happen, that cities are going to bounce back, that all these reports of, you know, spikes in crime are well exaggerated. But it certainly is a fear among some real estate investors.
Well, I get the sense that, I don't know, this image in my mind of just half-empty skyscrapers in some cities. I mean, could it get that bad or worse?
It could get that bad. I think no one really thinks that the era of the office is nearing an end. I think everyone is agreeing that companies will still need an office. And even companies like Twitter, right? Twitter has said that they want to essentially let everyone work from home forever. Even those companies say that they still want to have an office, that the office is still important to them. So no one really thinks that the office is over. But what people are worried about is that even if companies use 20% less office space on average, say, right, if they say, you know, we'll let everyone work from home on Fridays or Mondays and they just have to come in on some days, so we need less space. If basically every company says that, that could be a huge, huge, huge hit to office owners, because even a small drop in revenues and occupancy can ultimately lead to a pretty big drop in profits and value and can basically put owners underwater on their mortgages.
We're speaking with Conrad Putzier, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called Office Markets Under Pressure as Coronavirus Squeezes Cities. You said, too, though, not all news for office owners is bad. Explain that scene.
Yeah. So this is clearly a tough time, but there are a couple of things that are actually going in favor of office owners. So one is, leases tend to have a very long term. So if you're a company, you lease an office space, usually you do that for 5 years or 10 years or maybe even 15 years. So it's not possible for all these companies that want to reduce their office space to just walk away from the leases. You can't just do that. So that's great from the office owner's perspective, because they know even if in the long run companies will use less office space, it'll take a while for us to get there. And until then, I still have my rental revenue coming in. Another thing that's pretty good from the office owner's perspective, and that's different from the years after 2008, is that in general, real estate owners are less indebted than they were. They have less mortgage debt, which really helps them in situations like this, because your monthly mortgage bills are lower. That basically means even if your rental revenue goes down a bit, you probably still have enough money in most cases to pay your mortgage, and you're not gonna default right away.
Thanks, Conrad. Conrad Putzier, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Trump signed four executive orders over the weekend, including one that extends federal unemployment benefits at a rate of $400 per week from the expired level of $600 per week, and another that temporarily cuts payroll taxes.
We've gotten much of what we've wanted without having to give up anything. And that's very good. You can't beat that.
It's not clear whether the executive orders will withstand legal challenges, and the benefits funding achieved through tapping an emergency program is set to last 5 weeks.
Number two.
National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien says Chinese hackers are targeting U.S. election infrastructure in the lead up to the November election, making a new claim about the level of Beijing's activity in the election. He spoke with CBS.
What we're doing is we've got our cyber teams in place. DHS is working very hard to track down those malign actors.
O'Brien's comments are met with skepticism by other officials who say the U.S. doesn't currently have intelligence showing Beijing is directly trying to hack election-related systems.
Number three.
A magnitude 5.1 earthquake along North Carolina's border with Virginia shook homes and rattled dishes as far away as Atlanta yesterday. Randy Baldwin is with the U.S. Geological Survey.
These quakes occur along the southeast margin, you know, of the mountain in the region. So there's a lot of old buried faults that every now and again reactivate with, you know, stresses in the crust.
It was the strongest quake to rock the region since 1916. No serious damage or injuries were reported. America's Got Talent judge Simon Cowell has undergone surgery after breaking his back in several spots while falling off his bike on Saturday. The 60-year-old entertainment mogul was testing a new electric bike near his home in Malibu when he fell. Cowell was set to return to America's Got Talent for the first live show airing tomorrow. Colin Morikawa made a stunning lead eagle after the drive of his life to pull away from a jam-packed leaderboard and secure a two-shot victory at the PGA Championship in only the second major start of his career. The 23-year-old American began the day two shots back of overnight leader Dustin Johnson. Morikawa's only mistake of the day came when the lid fell off the Wanamaker trophy as he lifted it up on the 18th green.
All right, he's forgiven for that one. You talk about clutch.
Yeah.
I mean, he nails this drive, then the putt to follow up. Ice in his veins, the young guy. Thanks, Jen. Fletcher with us. The springtime shutdowns at American colleges was lousy timing for some students. Some were given just a few days to pack up. Others who were away on spring break were suddenly separated from their belongings with no reunion in sight. Well, with just weeks left until some colleges expect to reopen campuses, there's a hectic push to get rid of the old stuff to make way for the new. Here's Leslie Brody, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Leslie, what are you hearing?
It's, as one student said, it's an insane logistical challenge. The schools are trying to be considerate, but they have tens of thousands of boxes and thousands of students, and it's just a mess. I mean, some kids aren't coming back at all. Some kids want to come back in the fall, but they might be changing rooms. Some kids are international students who've gone back home, and it would be very expensive to send them all their things. And some of them, you know, are trying to come back in the summer, and they get these two-hour appointments to race through their belongings and pack them up really fast. No chance to fold things or sort carefully, because they can only get two-hour windows in order to allow for social distance. If everyone's coming, you know, for a few hours at a time, then the school can have just a few kids in a dorm hall at a time. If everyone were to come and do it in a leisurely way, they wouldn't be able to social distance. So right. It's just a mess.
Boy, so are schools in some cases trying to mail stuff back to students?
Yes, some schools have hired companies or are using their own staff to sort through kids' belongings, put them in boxes, and ship them to kids' homes at no cost to the students. The schools are trying to be cognizant of the need, you know, to understand that these are not expected expenses, that, you know, some students can't bear them.
Yeah.
You know, it's very easy for the packers to send the wrong things to the, you know, to different roommates. So, you know, there are lots of reports of kids getting their roommates' dirty laundry or their roommates' iPads. it's a mess. In some situations, kids are going on FaceTime with the moving person and sorting through the contents of their closets remotely. But not every moving company has the time for that. Mm. And some schools have said that's not going to happen. Just do the best you can.
Wow. We're speaking with Leslie Brody, education reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called Colleges Try to Reunite Students with the Stuff They Left Behind. Benny, the merchandise been stolen? Didn't you say there was an incident at Syracuse, for example?
Yes, there was. And that's a shame. And the school apologized and said, you know, disappointingly, it appears some of the very individuals we trusted with this task are likely responsible for the thefts and missing items. More than 100 students reported things had disappeared when the contractors packed up their rooms. The school apologized, said local police are investigating, and they are putting in new security measures such as cameras in residence hall elevators and more restricted access to storage space. Mm.
I wonder just how bad some of that laundry is, by the way.
Oh, I can't even imagine. I mean, some kids had, you know, rotten apples and moldy, oranges. And the part that really tickled me was the Yale dean who sent a note saying, you know, when the campus first shut down, P.S., I'm concerned some of you may have pets hidden in your rooms. Now is definitely the time to fess up so we could arrange a rescue mission. I asked Yale if any hidden secret pets had surfaced, and the spokesperson wasn't sure, hadn't heard of any, but I can't even imagine if someone had turtles or a hamster or something.
That's crazy. Thanks, Leslie. Leslie Brody, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. With the recent global pandemic, the way we work together seemingly changed overnight. And if there's one thing we've learned, it's that having access to the right resources is essential for adapting your business. But when it comes to finding the right talent, the process can be time-consuming, frustrating, and expensive. Whether you're launching your first business, scaling your current business, or in need of extra support to complete a project, find the quality talent you need instantly with Fiverr. With Fiverr's online marketplace, your business is connected to freelancers offering hundreds of digital services, including graphic design, copywriting, web programming, and more. And it's so easy. You can customize your search by service, deadline, price, seller reviews, and more. Plus, no more guessing games. You'll know exactly what you're paying for up front. No negotiating needed. Check out Fiverr.com and receive 10% off your first order using my code Gordon. All the digital services you need in one place at Fiverr.com, code Gordon. Fiverr.com, code Gordon.
Bringing the world to your door every morning. This is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Monday, August 10. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Lawmakers debate executive orders by President Trump to provide coronavirus aid without Congress. The National Security Advisor says China is targeting this November's election. Watching as campus living begins today at Lake Superior State in Michigan. Serena Williams on the court today for the first time in 6 months, a tune-up tournament in Kentucky ahead of the U.S. Open, and how a community in Idaho is rallying around a teenager with cancer. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Dell supports Small Business Month with savings up to 45% on computers with Intel Core processors. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusinessdeals. After years of business attire becoming increasingly casual, the sudden transition to working from home for millions of Americans has undermined retailers that sell dress clothes. Nathan Bomey, business reporter at USA Today, says dressing up is being dressed down. Nathan, what's trending?
I think that it's become pretty clear in the last several weeks that any retailer that relies heavily on business wear, or what we would typically call office clothes, is hurting. And it's really not a good story for companies like Men's Warehouse and Joseph A. Bank and, you know, Ann Taylor and Loft, and really across the board. If you relied on selling suits or ties or dresses, this is not good news, because we have seen a significant change in the way people are dressing for work over the last several months, obviously much more casually. And if you don't need a suit for the office, You certainly don't need one for, you know, for home, and now you may not even need to, may not even be required to. So that's bad news for these retailers.
Is this another example of the pandemic accelerating a trend that was already underway?
It absolutely is, and I think that's one thing it's important to note, that, you know, there had been a general casualization, is the word that the industry leaders use, going on in the workplace for really 5 to 10 years, maybe even longer, where, you know, in general, business dress codes have been relaxed. Obviously, there are still exceptions, but that had been going on for quite a while. But this just really accelerated that trend, because no one's really expecting their workers to dress up a lot at home. And, you know, some people may have to be a little bit better for a Zoom call, for example. But in reality, a lot of us aren't dressing up. And that means that you're not visiting the store to buy that suit.
Boy, I didn't even think about the angle of all the proms that were canceled. So,
yeah,
you know, tuxedos or other wear wasn't being rented, you know, weddings. So, you know, no tuxes needed.
Yeah. A lot of retailers are even saying that this is actually a bigger impact on them than the work from home environment, that the loss of essentially business events or formal wear events, like you say, proms, you know, this fall, homecomings, probably not going to happen. That'll take a dent, you know, leave a dent for the formal wear companies. You know, Men's Warehouse and Joseph A. Bank, for example, had big tuxedo rental businesses. And even if you can do a wedding right now, you're probably not having as significant of a size of a wedding. You know, you may have pared down your wedding party, or you may be delayed it. So they're taking so many hits right now.
We speak with Nathan Bomey, business reporter at USA Today. He's got a piece that's asking the question, are dress clothes gone for good? What about the possibility of some of these retailers pivoting and then recovering somewhat with a different approach to, you know, business attire?
Yeah, I think that they're going to try. I think they have to try. I mean, if you look at Men's Warehouse, for example, in the 90s, they shifted away from suits towards suit jackets, for example. So, you know, they made shifts before. That wasn't as significant, though, as what we're seeing now. And the problem is, these aren't fast fashion retailers. You know, fast fashion is this trend that's been going on in retail for several years, where companies like H&M, you know, were basically able to very quickly move on a dime toward new fashions, and they, you know, kind of move on quickly because fashions change so fast. But these are not retailers that are used to that. You know, Joseph A. Bank or Men's Warehouse, which are actually technically part of the same company, don't have much experience in that. You know, you look at Brooks Brothers, for example, which filed for bankruptcy several weeks ago as well. They, you know, famously invented the button-down polo shirt. So they've innovated in the past. That was more than 100 years ago. You know, I don't know if they're capable of changing on a dime now.
Boy. Anybody saying that we'll actually never go back to suits?
Well, you know, a lot of these retailers are holding out hope that we will bounce back to some version of normal at some point. And really, they're pretty aggressive about saying that they do believe that Americans will go back to buying dress clothes again once this is over. I don't know if there's a lot of evidence for that. I mean, it's possible that that's the case. Of course, we don't know when it's going to be over. That's a whole problem in and of itself. But when it's over, what if, you know, business returns, we go back to the office, but you can start wearing jeans? You know, I think that this is not necessarily a dress code that's going to pop back to what it was before.
Thanks, Nathan. Nathan Bomey, business reporter at USA Today. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. We've heard for years that it's important to have a diversified portfolio, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, that kind of thing. But if you've ever looked at a breakdown of the most successful portfolios, you'll typically see real estate. So why isn't it one of the first asset classes you consider when you're looking to diversify? Well, simple. It hasn't been available to investors like you and me until now, thanks to Fundrise. Whether you're new to real estate investing or a veteran, Fundrise can help. Fundrise is an investing platform that makes investing in high-quality, high-potential real estate as easy as investing in your favorite stock or mutual fund. Fundrise manages more than $1 billion in assets for more than 130,000 investors with a team of real estate professionals that carefully vets real estate projects. Start building your better portfolio today. Get started at fundrise.com/Gordon to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. That's fundrise.com/Gordon. To have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. fundrise.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Glad you could spend part of your Monday here. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know Major League Baseball could use fewer, not more, obstacles in their quest to play a COVID-shortened 2020 season. Add a twisted-up tarp to the list of calamities to affect a game. The skies opened up with a downpour during the sixth inning of a game between Washington and Baltimore yesterday. And when the grounds crew sprang into action, they couldn't get the tarp unspooled properly onto the field, turning something that normally takes a couple minutes into a 15-minute ordeal. Even when the field was finally covered, the tarp was clearly upside down with the sponsor logo facing the ground. Even worse, the rain was practically over by then and the field was soaked with big puddles between the bases. Crews spent more than 2 hours trying to dry the field to no avail. The game was suspended and will be resumed with the Orioles leading the Nats 5-2 on Friday.
Man, holy cow.
Now, it kind of goes into like the you had one job file, right, when it comes to the grounds crew.
Do you think that there was an immediate meeting of the grounds crew with the boss after the game?
Yeah.
Or is it this morning, like at 9 a.m.?
I think somebody was waiting for them probably when they got back. Because what that means is that it wasn't rolled up properly, most likely the last time it was used, whenever that was. So whoever was around responsible for that, I'm sure, got chewed out big time.
Now listen, why do we have to cancel the game or postpone the game? It's a puddle.
Yes. Well,
throw the ball, hit the ball, run the bases.
As you know, Gordon, baseball players tend to injure themselves in all kinds of ways, even that aren't related to baseball. There's a whole file of weird baseball injuries, especially in this year where they're stopping and starting and they haven't had as much training, spring training as they usually do. Somebody would have gotten hurt slipping and falling into that puddle at some point.
Play the game. It's raining.
Yes.
That's what I would like to see.
Yes.
Imagine if that infield hop finds the puddle.
Right.
It's great.
I mean, it would be fun. If nobody got hurt, it would be fun to watch.
Nobody's asking for injuries. Just play the game in the rain, fellas.
next time, perhaps. And sticking with baseball, a weird Sunday for the sport continued later in the day when a rookie outfielder's blunder on a routine fly ball gave the other team a home run. The ball was hit in the fifth inning by Texas Rangers batter Nick Solak to Los Angeles Angels outfielder Joe Adell. Adell clearly had trouble tracking the ball down, but managed to get his glove on it. Unfortunately, the ball popped out of his mitt and over the fence, allowing Solak to circle the bases. The play was reminiscent of an infamous incident in 1993 when a ball bounced off of Jose Canseco's head and over the fence. Fortunately for Canseco, there was no social media back then. A clip of Adell's blunder, posted by the Rangers, however, has now been watched over 325,000 times. And for those keeping score at home, Solak was initially awarded a home run on the play, but the scoring was later changed to a four-base error instead.
Wow.
Which basically just means the pitcher's not going to, be responsible for those runs.
Yeah.
But the runs still count. Team still lost the game.
So I just watched it. And this wasn't like he was about to pull the ball back over the fence.
Right, no.
He was still, 4 feet from the wall.
Yeah,
it
was
like
pretty
bounced
far
off the heel of his gloves, and then there was like a re-trajectory of the ball, and it went flying over the fence.
Yeah, he wasn't even as close as Canseco was.
No.
I remember Canseco's play, he was kind of right up against the wall.
Right,
he was pretty far away from the wall. He almost had to push this ball over the wall for it to be a home run.
Oh, man. What a story. What a clip, unfortunately, for him. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Dell supports America's entrepreneurs during Small Business Month with all you need to office anywhere. Save up to 45% on computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10. Plus, save on top-brand tech while enjoying free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the tech that's just right. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for being with us. We're getting better at making our video conference meetings more interesting and productive. USA Today found some examples of how companies are making the get-togethers from home more interactive. Jeff Graham, personal technology columnist, says one way is to humanize the meetings.
Favorite was a streaming company called Philo, which basically has turned their meetings into kindergarten. They do getting to know you days. They do trivia days. They say it brings something to share.
Another way to bring the personal interactions into the video meetings is through gamification. Gamal Palmer, who runs the Diversity Gym Consultancy, starts every meeting with a prompt to participants with game-like questions, like, what would you change your name to that would describe the way you're feeling today? Susan Kiorlin, who runs a college consulting business for high school kids in San Francisco, says moving online has made her a better consultant. She says it's easier to do show-and-tell on a video meeting where she can share her screen instead of turning around her laptop in the office. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Former FDA head Scott Gottlieb warned the death toll in the U.S. from the coronavirus could hit 300,000 by the end of 2020, depending on what actions we take. He told CBS we're definitely going to be somewhere between 200 and 300,000.
We've now had two waves of this epidemic, the New York wave, and now the wave through the Sun Belt, which is receding, although Texas is showing signs of an uptick, at least in the last week, and that needs to be followed closely. We're probably going to have another wave.
More than 162,000 people have died in the U.S. Cases continue to rise in 11 states.
Number two.
Democrats are calling President Trump's plan to bypass Congress and extend coronavirus economic relief insufficient and unconstitutional. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Fox.
While he says he's going to do the payroll tax, what he's doing is undermining Social Security and Medicare. So these are illusions.
Trump's plan calls for, among other things, funding $300 a week in special unemployment benefits, with an additional $100 coming from states.
Number three.
Attorney General William Barr mounted a partisan attack on the Democratic Party in an interview that aired on Fox, claiming that the left believes in tearing down the system and pursues absolute victory as a substitute for religion. Barr says police have been targeted with violent attacks during nationwide protests.
What they do is they hijack these demonstrations and they provoke violence, and they have various tiers of people from the sort of top provocateurs down through people who are their minions and sort of run the violent missions.
The comments come nearly 2 weeks after a contentious hearing before a House committee in which Barr denied accusations he was doing Trump's bidding. China will sanction 11 Americans in retaliation for similar measures imposed by the Trump administration on Friday. A foreign ministry spokesman says those sanctioned include Senators Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, Human Rights Watch Executive Director Kenneth Roth, and Michael Abramowitz, the president of Freedom House. And things aren't going quite as well as Disney had hoped. After lower-than-expected attendance, Disney is scaling back operating hours at the Magic Kingdom and several other Florida theme parks. Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom will all lose an hour or two per day starting September 8th.
Almost reads like an April Fool's joke, doesn't it?
What's that?
Like, here's a joke for you. Disney is getting fewer people, so they're reducing hours. It's just bizarre sounding. Man.
Yeah, it's not good.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. Glad you're with us. An Idaho teenager battling an inoperable brain tumor is getting his dream ride after a Boise body shop manager and other local businesses stepped in to help. Fox News says 15-year-old Coleman Medkoff of Parma has been in cancer treatment since 2019. He recently fell in love with the idea of buying and refurbishing a classic car. He told KTVB Television he found a 1964 Mercury Monterey named Maria online for $1,500. Scott Reynolds of Harold's Auto Body in southeast Boise wanted to help out. The work on Coleman's Mercury began in February and has continued for months. And while Coleman still has months of cancer treatment left, he said he's excited to get behind the wheel. Maria is expected to be finished next month. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.